Radio.com. Do you ever feel like you're in mentality hell? You have your doctors and or your support systems in place, but you are still in pain. And then, who is your biggest abuser? Could it now be the one staring back at you in the mirror? To be or not to be accountable is really the question when making the journey to get past the pain of misuse. TobeAccountable.com, practical accountability coaching, specializing in mentality rehabilitation and restoration. A proud sponsor of Soul Sista Enterprise.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is For Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, She's Gone Country with Becky Christensen Phillips.
She's been playing at a room on the strip for 10 years in Vegas. Every night she looks in the mirror and she only ages. Everybody's buying. Says I'm a simple girl myself, grew up on Long Island. So she packs her bags to try her hand. Says this might be my last chance. She's gone country, look at them boots. She's gone country, back to her roots. She's gone country, a new kind of suit. Yes, she comes.
Welcome, everybody, to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I just want to say thank you so much if you're able to tune in and join us tonight. We are broadcasting live from Blog Talk Radio, so there's two ways to listen to us live. You can log on to blogtalkradio.com/4Radio, and just scroll down and look for the red boots. If you find those red boots, just click them, and it will bring up the broadcast. You'll be listening to us live on any internet access that you have, whether that's your smartphone, your laptop, your computer at home, whatever you got. If you've got internet access, you can hear us. And then you can also call in live, and you can join us at 347-857-3760. And that is our live line, and you're able to listen to the show there. And if you want to come in and join the conversation and speak with our guest tonight, all you have to do is press 1, and that will take you into the host queue. And my producer, Maria DiGiovanni, will be there and greet you and let us know you're on the line so we can bring you on so you can visit with us. I just want to say thank you very much to our sponsors, our station sponsor, TobeAccountable.com, Higher Ascent, and B&B Remodelers. I always mess that up. We thank you very much for all that you do, the ambassador pageants. We wouldn't be on the station without you. And then, of course, our show sponsors, Trinity Wellness, Trace Rio Silver, Cowboy Up Energy, and they just keep coming and coming. So thank you so much for seeing our vision and believing us and supporting us. And that mission and vision statement is pretty simple. We're just here. We're empowering and elevating everyday cowboys and cowgirls who love God, who love country and the Western way of life, in hopes that they will inspire those that don't and help bridge the gap in the generations current and generations past so that we can continue to cultivate and keep alive the heart of the American cowboy. So that is who we are. And tonight I am joined with us with my co-host, Vicki Christensen. Vicki, are you there?
I am, Becky. Welcome, everyone. We've got a great show, and I can't wait to get started, Becky.
Well, you know, I'm a little long-winded in the beginning, but, you know, we got to make sure that we take care of our sponsors because we couldn't be there without all of them, and I want to make sure that I give them kudos each and every time that we go on the air. But tonight,
Becky, I would never call you long-winded. You know that.
Well, you know, I am a Christensen, and there's something to be said. And I think, actually, as we're sitting here talking, if I just talk long enough, I can get through the whole opening part of our hour and still be right on track. I get to welcome our other guest co-host, Donalyn Quintana. Donalyn, are you there?
Yes, I am the opposite of what you are. I'm always off track.
Hi, Donalyn.
Yes, I'm your resident dysfunctional fairy godmother today. It's been a crazy day, so I'm loving just taking the break to be with my favorite radio show.
Well, we love you, Donalyn. I'm glad that you are able to join us tonight. I know we have been crazy, crazy busy. May is going to be an insane month for the three of us. So if we can show up here each and every week with our heads on straight and our microphones plugged in and you can hear us clearly, then we are doing our job. So so with that being said, tonight we have a special guest, and I think you're going to find him charming, witty, just a fun hour interview to visit and talk with. And I had the pleasure of visiting with him for a time last night, and I tell you, I just had a great conversation. So I'm excited to bring him on the air. He is a bull rider. He's an author. He's a motivational speaker. And by the way, ladies, he's single. Not that I'm Match.com or anything, but just putting that out there right now. And he is a very, very good, from what I hear, baker of cookies. So let me welcome to the show Mr. Abe Morris. Abe, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you very much for having me on this evening.
Well, we welcome you to the show tonight. And, Abe, I know it's been a little while since you've been on Blog Talk, but as you know, Blog Talk is a worldwide platform, so we have guests from all over that tune in. Once the show's over, they can plug into the archives and listen to the show from anywhere. And we have listeners that do call in from Greece, from Canada, from Mexico, from all over, that are just a following of ours from Four Radio and the Ambassador Program and all that Maria Diagiovanni does that has brought the station to fruition. So if you would, we have, I would say about 7 or 8 minutes till our first break. So take some time, if you will, because some of our listeners will know who you are. Some of them will not. And I just always ask our guests to just give a brief background of who you are, where you came from, and what you're all about.
Well, I was raised in New Jersey. I started riding bulls at Cowtown Rodeo in Woodstown, New Jersey, and my three older cousins were the ones who actually got me started in the sport. Gene, Jimmy Lee, Willie Ed, and also the other cousin too, David. David never rode, but the other three guys did. Those were the guys that got me started in rodeo. And years later, Gene Walker ended up going to Casper College on a rodeo scholarship. And so when it was time for me to go to college, I decided I wanted to follow in his footsteps. So that's what happened. I ended up going to Wyoming. I rode bulls. I became a rodeo announcer. I did TV commentating. And then later on, people told me I had a really unique story and I needed to write it. So I sat down and wrote my book. And the title of that book is My Cowboy Hat Still Fits.
I'm sorry, Becky. I just wanted to let Abe know that, you know, being in the trophy buckle business, we get a lot of publications every month. And one thing we always look forward to, Abe, at Trust Rio Silver is the fact when Humps and Horns come in and your article that you write every month there. And reading through your bio, it sounds as if you've been writing an article for them for, what, eight or 9 years? Is that correct?
Actually, 12 and a half.
Wow. Time does fly. Well, we enjoy it.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, sounds like someone dropped. Well, you know, Abe, I'm curious to know, you know, being from New Jersey, let's go back and let's just start at the beginning a little bit. So being from New Jersey, grew up there, you got a couple, two, three cousins that are bull riding. Talk to me a little bit about, because I'm just a West Side girl. I'm from the West. I'm from Oregon, born and raised. Never been that far east to New Jersey. Actually, to be honest with you, this is how, you know, born and raised in rodeo, roots back eons and eons, and I had to ask my Aunt Vicki where Cowtown was. I assumed it was in New Jersey, but that's how little bit I personally know of back east. So tell me what it's like with rodeo back east in New Jersey, especially when you were just getting started, you know, back in the day. What was that all like?
Well, Cowtown is just a little place. It's actually in Woodstown, New Jersey, and my cousins, the Walkers, lived about 150 yards from the rodeo arena. And when I was a little kid, my dad, he's a Baptist minister, he didn't want me to grow up and be soft, and he knew those guys were pretty tough. So before I ever started kindergarten, he took me out there and told me I was going to stay with them for the whole summer so they could kind of toughen me up. So that's how I got started. Those guys were riding ponies and horses at the time, and, you know, after spending a couple summers with them, they convinced me to do the same thing that they did. So that's how I actually got started. And Cowtown Rodeo is every Saturday night in the summer from about the last Saturday in May to the last Saturday in September. It's been going now for about almost 60 years.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty amazing. And, you know, also real quick before we get too far into it, I know Cody is unable to be with us tonight. He's got his son's high school banquet, but he wanted to make sure I told you hello. So greetings from Cody Kester.
Okay. I've known Cody for a long time.
So, okay, so you got started. You spent a summer just before kindergarten out with your cousins to get toughened up. And
yeah.
tell me what that looked like. As if you're in kindergarten, you had to be, what, 5, 6 years old, you know, and your cousins were out there. What did they do, just slap a rope on you and watch you eat dirt a few times? Or did they at least, you know, ease you into it and get your courage up? I mean, what was that like?
Well, there's also a flea market there and a livestock auction. It was every Tuesday, and now it's actually expanded to Tuesdays and Saturdays. But there was a lot of livestock all over the place. There was a barn right next to their house, ample stock to get on. And then sometimes the guys would actually practice, you know, their calf roping, their tie-down roping. And what they would do is if they had a calf, they'd hold the calf down, and they'd actually bribe me to get on the calf. And, you know, they'd pay me, they'd give me like a quarter, which, you know, back then that was, you know, you could buy a soda and a candy bar for you know, 25 cents, 15 cents for the soda, 10 cents for the candy bar, and then they'd laugh, you know, get their kick. So that's how I got started, just them bribing me. And then later on, Howard Harris III, who actually owned the rodeo, started an event called Junior Bull Riding, and it was a way to get his young bulls used to the chutes and a way for us kids to get some practice. So I started riding junior bulls when I was about 10 years old.
Wow. You've been in it from the beginning. Now, you know, being a minister's son and around all these cousins that were riding, and I want to talk about this before we go to break. We got a couple minutes before we go to break. I know you said that, you know, you rode bulls all the way through high school. So, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, it could be me with my stereotypical mindset of what New Jersey looks like, but to me, New Jersey is all city. And, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is basketball, football, all the normal inner-city sporting events like we have here in Spokane. And rodeos and the agricultural community is kind of secondary. So is that a fair and accurate statement of back east in New Jersey? And if not, I mean, what was it that got you to – really have a drive to continue on being in New Jersey, to continue doing this in high school and on through college?
Well, basically, the people, you know, you picture New Jersey, like you said, you think of the cities, but it's almost like two different states. North Jersey is where they have all the industry, et cetera. South Jersey is actually a lot of farms, and New Jersey's moniker is called the Garden State. So you go north, and, you know, you see that those things up north. You come down south, you see all the farmland. I actually was, you know, I was raised on a dairy farm. So anything in South Jersey, there's a lot of country and a lot of farming that goes on every year. So it was just, I'm just really basically a country boy, if you want to know the truth.
See, there you go. You cleared it up for me. Had no idea. Like I said, maybe one of these days I need to get back east. It was one of my things in high school where my best friend Sarah and I, we were bound and determined to go to New York when we graduated from high school. That didn't happen, so I've yet to venture that far east. So that's good. I appreciate it because I know we've got some listeners that are probably just as clueless about New Jersey as I am.
Okay. It was a great place to grow up. I really enjoyed my time growing up in New Jersey.
From there, you got a scholarship to high school. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we want to talk about that when we get back, your ventures from New Jersey over to Wyoming. We'll be right back.
Okay.
ForRadio.com.
Since 1997, Tresrio Silver has been providing custom handmade trophy buckles at an affordable price. Family owned, your business is important to us. We are big enough to meet your needs, but small enough to provide that personal touch. Give us a call today at 800-550-7535 and speak with someone on our design staff. Or go online to www.tresriosilver.com. Let us help you design your next trophy buckle. That's Tresrio Silver, Llano, Texas. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
ForRadio.com.
Oh, sorry about that. We are back. Well, thank you for tuning in to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen-Phillips. And bear with me just one moment, having the small malfunction. There we go. We are spending the hour tonight with Abe Morris. He's a bull rider, an author, a motivational speaker, and he has just been sharing with us the first 15 minutes or so, a little bit about his background and his history and where he's been and where he's come from. And he's a born and raised New Jersey cowboy who spent his younger years on the back of a bull and carried that through high school. And Abe, share with us a little bit, because I know that you had shared with me that you actually received a scholarship, is that correct, to continue on in college?
I did, but mostly when I first went to the University of Wyoming, they weren't rodeo scholarships. They were academic because I was pretty intelligent. Well, I'll say I still am. I'm a smart guy, and I got good grades, so I got a lot of academic scholarships, and that's how I ended up going to school. It actually didn't even cost me anything to go to school. And then my last year at the University of Wyoming was when I actually got a rodeo scholarship.
Gotcha. Now tell me, you followed, and I'd like to just touch on this for a minute because I know it's important to you. I know there's a lot of history and memories, and it's just been an interesting week for your family. You followed your cousin out to Gene, out to university.
Yes.
I don't know. It's Becky, and apparently Becky's having some problems. But Becky and I were visiting a little bit back and forth on break, and we know that that your family just suffered a terrible loss. And first of all, we want you to know we remember you in our prayers and through this difficult time for your family. But that was, you just recently, just several days ago, lost your cousin Gene. Is that correct?
That's correct. He passed away on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I've actually written two books, and he was my third book. I was actually in the process of writing his book, and we've kind of gone over that. But he's had a very, very interesting life. You know, basically, I tell people I have a good story, but in my mind, Gene Walker has a great story. And, you know, he rodeoed in Cowtown. He went to Casper College in Wyoming. I ended up going to the University of Wyoming. But when his rodeo career was over, you know, he also became a member of the PRCA. But when he retired from rodeo, he went to California and became a stuntman. And I wanted to write his story because he was one of the, you know, the guys that was integral as far as getting my career started off. You know, Jimmy Lee and Willie Ed also helped me a lot, too. But, you know, it was Gene that led the way, and we all looked up to him. And it was pretty tough to be in the middle of his book and, you know, actually probably in the beginning of his book and have him pass away. So it was pretty tough. His funeral is going to be this Saturday in New Jersey.
Hmm. Yeah, and Gene, we're just our condolences, and we're so sorry, but there's absolutely not a doubt in anyone's mind that you will go ahead and finish this book about Gene and his legacy that he leaves behind. I know how honored he must be to know that you're going to take care of that for him, Abe. Well, I wanted to touch a little bit, Abe, on, you were a Mountain State Circuit, you went to the Mountain State Circuit Finals Rodeo a total of 8 times, which is very impressive. And, of course, that was that right out of college when all of that took place?
Yes, it was. But I went to school in Laramie, University of Wyoming, and then after I graduated, I really didn't want to go back to New Jersey because it was going to be more or less, you know, I would be like the big fish in the little pond. The competition back there was not near as tough, and I wanted to stay out west. So I just told my mom and dad that I wasn't coming home. I was going to stay out west and stay in Laramie and pursue my goals and dreams of trying to qualify for the National Finals Rodeo, and I was in the Mountain State Circuit, which is Wyoming and Colorado, so the top, I think it was the top 12 guys in each event at the end of the year qualified for the Mountain State Circuit Finals, and I got to go 8 different times, so that was, it was pretty decent.
You know, that's better than decent, Abe. I mean, that's a complete honor, and then of course, from there, you went on to qualify for the National Circuit Finals Rodeo. And, of course, this was in the bull riding event. But I know, Abe, that, you know, outside of the rodeo arena, your life has taken some interesting twists and turns, you know, throughout the years. And I am especially, you know, interested in hearing about your books. I know, you know, you're writing the one about Cousin Gene, but you know, your first book, what, was published in 2005, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. March of 2005.
And that book was My Cowboy Hat Still Fits?
That's correct. I actually, that line, not to kind of spoil it, but that came from a comeback, and I can tell you the story. Hopefully it won't take too long, but I was at University of Wyoming, and the school did a story on me to kind of coincide with the college rodeo, because the college rodeo was right there on campus, and I was going to ride a bull that had already bucked me off, and the school did a newspaper story that said I was this. And I still tell people he put a little extra spices on that story because it said I was this fantastic, great bull rider, and I didn't think I was that good. I thought I was okay. And this college student, one of my co-students, she just picked on me. She said that, you know, I thought I had a big head because she basically said, okay, just because the school did a story on you, now you think you're some kind of a superstar. And my comeback to her was, you know, my head's not getting big, so I took my hat off. And I said to her, I said, my cowboy hat still fits. And I put it back on my head. And I I put it back on my head. I walked over to the field house, which is right there on campus, and I ended up winning first place in the bull riding.
Good for you, Abe. I like that. Now I understand what the title of the book.
I like
Makes
that.
Makes sense. So I got a question for you. Tell us you know, you went to school and graduated business. And before I ask this question, if there's any listeners out there or callers out there that want to chime in and ask Abe, our guest, any questions, be sure to press 1 and let Maria know you're there, and she'll make sure that we're able to bring you on the line. But, Abe, you went to school and graduated college, and you went on and you had a very successful have a very successful career in life insurance and annuities. Tell us where this passion for writing came from. Where did that spring from? Because you write this article now for 12 years for Humps and Horns. You're writing books. You've written several articles and columns. Tell us, what spurred that?
I was working at a financial services company because I have a securities license and insurance license. And one of my coworkers told me, you know, you have a really unique story. You're African-American. You came from New Jersey. You became a rodeo announcer. You rode bulls, et cetera. You need to sit down and write your story. I think it's very intriguing. And she bugged me, and I'm not exaggerating, she bugged me for probably 6 months nonstop to write my book. And the only reason I started writing it, because she sat right next to me, was so she would leave me alone. And one day I sat down and started writing the book, and I never got off track until I was finished. It took me about 9 months to write that book, and then I'd already written that story about my cowboy hat still fits, but I still didn't have a title. And then one day just a little light came on and said, you know, I think that should be the title of your book. So that's why I called it My Cowboy Hat Still Fits.
Awesome. And then tell us a little bit now. You have a son. His name's Justin, and he's, if I believe correctly, you told me he's 14, correct?
That's correct.
Correct. And he is the focus of your second book. Is that correct?
That is correct. I got married after I retired, and it just did not turn out well at all. And that's just putting it lightly. But I was telling my publisher at the time, because we were going through my first book, and I just kept telling her all these horror stories about what she was doing, my ex-wife, and what the judges in New Jersey were doing to me, and the court system, and my attorney, and it was a fiasco. So she finally said, you know, you need to write this book, because I really had no idea that I was going to write another book. I figured I'd write my rodeo book, I'd be one and done and call it good, but after, you know, going through so much trauma and drama, I decided to sit down and write the second book. The second book was really, really hard, you know, with the emotional stuff, because I had to go back and try to retrack and remember things that had happened that I would have just as soon forgotten about and buried. So I wanted to be, you know, I wanted the book to be as accurate as possible. It was tough to relive those situations, but, you know, I'm still here. I hopefully that my second book will inspire other fathers to not give up with all the stuff that the court system do to them. And I ended up getting custody of my son. But it took me 10 years of fighting in the court system and probably anywhere from probably $150,000 to $180,000 is what it cost me. But I got him.
Well,
yeah,
and you know, Abe, this is Vicki, and that just touches my heart, because there are a lot of fathers out there that, you know, this story about Justin and your fight for him will definitely inspire to know that, you know, that it can happen. If you stand right and you're right with God and you're right in your beliefs and your heart, you know, you can do this. So kudos. That must be an amazing story, and I'm certain it was very emotional and very heart-wrenching for you.
It was. Even while I was going through it, I mean, some of my best friends told me just to quit. You know, you might as well just give up. You're wasting your money. Your attorney's just taking you to cleaners. Your ex-wife is pulling off all these shenanigans. And it was pretty sad. I some of the stuff that she did, I still look back and think, how could you be so heartless to do things like what she did? I mean, she would keep Justin away from me. If the court system and I had a visitation court order that said I needed to see Justin, if she didn't feel like, you know, if she didn't feel like she wanted me to see Justin, I didn't see him. And the judges did zero to me. And one of the things she did when I wanted to see Justin, all I had to do was buy one round-trip airline ticket for my son and pay a $50 escort fee both ways. So we're talking probably maybe $500 max. Round-trip, $40 back then for an escort fee. She refused to send Justin and forced me to buy 3 round-trip airline tickets, fly to Charlotte, North Carolina, go to the airport, meet her in the airport, get right back on the plane, come back to Denver, bring Justin here, and turn around and send me back. It cost me $2,800 for those tickets. Ooh. What a shame.
Yeah. Well, now, Abe, tell us, for, you know, because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there that will want to and find out more about you and your books and those sorts of things. So we got to go to commercial break. So tell me really quick and tell our audience real fast before our commercial break, how do they find your books to order them?
I have a website. It's really easy to find. It's www.abemorris.com. You can find the books there. You can either mail a check or you can just order it with your credit card. I'll mail you a check. I'll sign it. Justin will sign the books, and we'll get them to you in the mail pronto.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, thank you.
ForRadio.com. Trust Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trust Rio's, our only limit is your imagination. That's Trust Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535 or find us on the web, TrustRioSilver.com. Proud to be part of She's Gone Country with Becky. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
ForRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I am here tonight joined with my host, co-host Vicki Christensen, and my guest co-host, Donalyn Quintana. Ladies, are you there?
I am here, hey. Becky.
I'm here. Just rattle in the cages, making sure we're going in the second half hour, and I just thought that I'd give you guys a second. Donald, is there anything you want to add to this conversation while we're sitting here visiting with Mr. Morris?
Well, on the heels of what Abe said, hi, Abe, this is Donald Lynn.
Hi, Donald Lynn. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. I'm really good. You know, I'm just looking at this picture of that adorable son of yours, Justin. And, he is just so cute. Was it a 10-year battle that you had to get him back?
Yes, it was. Because basically, I mean, first thing we did is we started out, we got divorced, and the judge granted her primary custody, which usually happens when men and women divorce. Well, after that, she just basically would pull off shenanigans, wouldn't let me see him, all kinds of stuff. I mean, like I said, and the sad thing, too, and I'm going to throw this out there, I mean, not only would she not let me see my son, I was paying her, at one point, $360 a week for child support. $1,442 a month for child support. Can you imagine, and you know, paying $1,400 a month, living on $870, that's all I was bringing home, and then not being able to see your son for a whole year. It was just crazy. And the judge that even set my child support never even followed the guidelines. And I overpaid my ex-wife probably, give or take, about $50,000 more in child support than what I should have. I mean, she was making $80,000, I was making $36,000. And the sad thing is the judge that set my child support also set the child support for Governor James McGreevy, and she set his child support at $250 a week, And to start off, she set mine at 285. So you compare me to the governor of the state of New Jersey, unbelievable stuff that they did to me and got away with it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How old was Justin?
At the time when we got divorced, he was only about 2 years old.
Okay. And you got him, how old did you, when you fought with him, how old was he?
He was actually 8 years old when he moved here to Colorado, and she still kept fighting me. Justin lived with me for a year before they finally granted me custody. And when the judge actually granted me custody, because my ex-wife continued to pull off these shenanigans, she revoked her visitation privileges. And it took her about a year and a half to gain those back. She didn't see Justin. And since then, she has had her visitation privileges revoked for the second time. In June of this year, she will not have seen Justin for over 2 years because of the way she continues to carry on and act out.
Well, you know what? I just wanted to say one more thing is that I don't, you know, God bless you for just, you know, persevering through something. And I know it's because of the love of your child, but I mean, you know, I've seen people who are so difficult, and what they don't realize is those people that put their poor little kids in the crossfire of that, it's a silent form of child abuse. And eventually those issues come out later and everything. So I don't understand when people can't get along for the sake of their children.
And I agree. And there's things that she did that, I mean, she's done illegal things. And, I mean, it's so sad because she's been so vindictive. She threw, I'm going to say, probably about 50% of my personal property into the garbage. And a lot of that was my rodeo stuff. I had all my rodeo entry books and all that. Well, she threw them in the garbage. And the University of Wyoming has a museum, and they're archiving all the stuff from my rodeo career. So you think, not only is she throwing away my family stuff, you know, there's things that people would have looked at for the next few generations that are now in some landfill because she was just so, you know, for lack of a better word, hateful. It was just uncalled for.
Yeah. This is Vicki, and again, you know, it's really a sad thing, like Donna Lynn said, but the important thing is that, you know, you picked up, you carried on, you did what was right, and you're leaving a legacy for your son each and every day in everything that you do. And with that being said, I would love to visit with you a little bit about, you have been inducted into two Hall of Fames. Can you go ahead and share that with our audience and tell us about those inductions?
Okay, the first one is the Salem County Sports Hall of Fame in New Jersey, where Cowtown Rodeo, Woodstown is, where I actually grew up. I got inducted into that Sports Hall of Fame in December 2006. And then in November 2010, I got inducted into a National Hall of Fame, which is in Fort Worth, Texas. It used to be called the Cowboys of Color, but they have since changed it to the National Multicultural Western Heritage Museum and Hall of Fame. So, you know, it makes me feel good that when I leave this earth, I can actually call myself a Hall of Famer.
Amen.
You're awesome.
And it's true.
This is Becky, and I'm just, you know, curious because I know, you know, tonight you're home, and we appreciate you taking time away from what is your son's. You know, he came home early from his son's baseball game. His son's out there pitching and playing baseball tonight. So thank you for taking some time and sharing the hour with us. But tell us a little bit, you know, since you've gained custody of your son and everything, does your son have any type of passion like you do for the Western way and the heritage that you have of the rodeo and the bull riding, or is he just focused on sports and doing the baseball thing, or what's he up to these days? Tell us a little bit about your son, Justin.
He loved it. When he first came around, you know, well, I'll throw this out there, too, and it probably has no bearing, but when we found out that, you know, when my wife was pregnant, well, my ex-wife, and she found out it was going to be a boy, one of the first things she told me is, I don't want you showing in your rodeo pictures and this and that and buckles and spurs and shafts. And I kind of looked at her with, like, that's who I am. She, you know, that's my legacy. Well, anyway, when I was young, and when, excuse me, when Justin was younger, I wanted him to carry on that rodeo legacy. And then after I got custody and he moved out here, he started playing football, baseball, basketball, and I saw how talented that kid was, I changed my mind. There's no way I would want that kid to be getting on bulls. And when Justin first played baseball, the first year he was here, he was still only 8 years old, but his coach put me off to the side and said, this kid has all the tools to go to Major League Baseball. He is extremely talented, and he's very intelligent.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, does he enjoy the heritage and the culture? And do you, I mean, what is your life like now as far as being retired bull rider? Do you still attend rodeos? Do you still participate in everything that it is? Or are you just kind of on a different path these days?
We're both huge fans. When the PBR comes to town, or rodeo, or Cheyenne Frontier Days, we go to Cheyenne Frontier Days every single year. And they know us. They've seen Justin from the time he was about 6 years old when he just came out here for visits. And he is almost as tall as me. I'm 5'11". I would say Justin is probably 5'10 right now. Last year he grew 6 inches and he gained 30 pounds. And every year we go to Cheyenne now, the committee men, they look at him and they go, is that Justin? Yeah. So, yeah, after this show, they're going to look at me like, who is this guy? He's growing. He's doing well. I'm really proud of him. He's made the honor roll 3 straight semesters in high school. He's a freshman now. So, and when you look at the kid, and I mean, he can even be a pro football player. He's that good. But I don't know. I don't want him to ride bulls because, you know, he could make so much more money playing baseball. He could be a millionaire. And if you, like I said, if you saw how good he was, he's a pitcher, he's a great fielder, he hits, he runs, he's hit 2 triples this year. He's always been an all-star, pitched in the all-star games. So, yeah, I'm very proud of him.
Well, you know what, Abe, this is Vicki, and he may just surprise you one day. I mean, come on, Dad, he may just say, okay, Dad, that's it. Let's go down to the rodeo arena, get a bull in the chute. And if he does, I mean, as a parent, I know how hard it is to let our children turn them loose, you know, when we want them to take maybe different directions than we have in life. But, hey, if that's what he says, you're throwing him in the truck and driving down to the arena, aren't you?
No. He knows that. He knows that. I think I was, and people, you know, I'm sure there were some people that were afraid, but he told me from the beginning he wanted to ride. Now, he's ridden a steer because he wanted to, and then I just never pushed him. He was like, Dad, let's go ride again. And I said, I'm too tired. I didn't want him to ride anymore. But he told me in the beginning, he says, I'm going to ride calves, I'm going to ride steers, I might ride junior bulls, he said, but he said, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to ride big bulls. And he said that at a very young age. So I kind of knew, this kid's smart. He's like, oh, no. I mean, we watch bull riding. We go to rodeos. He's seen. And we get close. We get on the buck and chutes. He knows this is an extremely dangerous sport. He has no desire to compete professionally in bull riding. That doesn't hurt my feelings one bit.
Well, and this is Becky. And, you know, tell me, you know, a little bit, we've got a couple minutes before we go to break. You were sharing with us, and it says in your bio, which I think is an awesome, awesome accomplishment, is that you are a PRCA, and you have your card as PRCA rodeo announcer, and you are technically the only African-American rodeo announcer. And did you say that you actually announced Cheyenne for a while?
Yes, I was a television announcer for the finals, the last round of Cheyenne Frontier Days. The first year that I did it was July 1989, and it was the same year Lane Frost got killed. I mean, I broke down and cried like a little baby. I was still riding bulls at that time. But it was fun, and that's something I'm kind of surprised that I don't announce more rodeos and try to do more TV work or sideline work and even motivational speaking. But I think I was geared and gone in that direction. And then when I got custody of Justin and he moved to Colorado, I just had to completely focus on other things. So now my priorities have changed. My number one goal was, you know, raise him. And he's told me more than once. He wants me to find him a stepmom. So I do want to find him a stepmom. And, you know, he'll go off to college, then I'll do more motivational speaking, and I'll pick up a few more rodeos and try to do some more TV work. So I think I've got it planned out. I just hope it all goes that way.
Hey, Abe, this is Becky. You've got to be careful what you say. How many single women callers do we have on the line, Becky?
I don't know. I know we got some callers from Canada. I know we've got quite a number listening, but we'll have to have Maria take a poll maybe before we hang up. No, I'm just kidding. Ladies, you know, you can always Facebook us if you want to know more about Abe. We'll connect you. Anyway, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We're about 15 minutes of the hour, and we're going to come back and wrap up the last 10 minutes, and we have some more things that we want to touch on with Abe, so we will be right back.
ForRadio.com.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com.
Sorry, technical difficulties. I'm telling you what, when you have a new phone, you better learn how to work it all because I am not good at multitasking. Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen-Phillips, and technically challenged Becky Christensen-Phillips. So welcome, welcome back. We've had a great hour. We've got Vicki on the line with us, Donna Lynn on the line with us, and we've been visiting with Abe Morris. He's a former PRCA bull rider. He's a author, a motivational speaker, and he's a father, most importantly. And we are just fortunate to be able to share with him this last hour and find out all the adventures he's been on. And he's had quite some adventures. So, Abe, thank you for joining us tonight. We have about, 10 minutes left before we close it out. And at this point, I know there was a couple things that we really wanted to make sure that we touched on tonight for you, and I'll let you divulge a little bit further into it because I know it's important that we get it out, but it's also a project that is still in process, and so we won't get all the tidbits, but I think you'll give us enough that you'll get us hooked, and our listeners will want to know more. So tell us about your current series, or I know you said you just finished your first children's book, is that correct?
That's correct. People have been telling me for the longest time that I should start writing children's books, so I did. I wrote one. It's not published yet, but I want to just have it as a series and just continue and go with it. I'm not going to really divulge the subject matter, exactly what it is, because I think someone else would probably steal it and run with it. So that's it. But there will be a series of children's books coming out in the near future. That's one of my things that I'm going to do. The other thing is for years I've baked homemade chocolate chip cookies, and I've had people ask me for the recipe, and a friend of mine, Mike Bond in Fort Collins, told me absolutely not. He said, those are so good that you should mass market those. But that was about 15 years ago. Well, actually, it was longer than that. It's probably 20 years ago. And so one of my goals in 2014 is to get my cookies out there. I've given, and and I know I'm probably not exaggerating, I bet I've given away 1,000 cookies over this time frame, and people just absolutely love them. I've had one friend tell me that they're actually better than Mrs. Fields, and I'm not going to say that. I know they're good, but people love them, so...
Abe, this is Vicki, and if you've waited 15 years to do this cookie thing, you better get it going because you've already missed a whole generation of youngsters that would have loved these cookies. So maybe this year you can all come together. Do it, please. It's our favorite.
Yeah. Oh, I am. That's my goal. I bake some. I usually bake them maybe once or twice a month, and I pass them out to friends, coworkers, whatever, and they love them. So I know that there's a market out there. I just have to find the person that pushed me, or I don't know who I need to actually partner with. Maybe I need an agent. Maybe I just need a, you know, I'm going to say this again. Maybe I need a girlfriend or a wife that would help me. I don't know, but I want to get them out there. I mean, they're good, and I think they'll take off. I mean, I could do my motivational speaking. I can sell books. I can do book signings. And, I mean, God's given me the tools to be successful, and I just need to make sure that I use them.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, you know, and it's funny, last night, ladies, we were, Abe and I were sitting there talking, and, you know, each week we try to call our guests and just touch base with them before the show, and I think Abe and I finished the hour out having a business marketing session, because we were brainstorming on different ways we could get his cookies out there.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
So now tell me, what I want to know, Abe, is, you know, you've done quite a bit in your lifespan. And I'm not one to say, hey, how old are you? I think your life speaks for itself, and you're busy raising your son, and I can relate to that, and I can appreciate that because it's amazing. And I'm sure, you know, we all can. All of us are moms. Maria's mom, Aunt Vicki, Donna Lynn. You know, we all have kids, and there is that phase in life where, you know, our dreams kind of get put on hold for that of our children. And then there comes that time where, you know, that about high school, freshman, sophomore year, that, you know, they start thinking about their futures, where they want to go, and then, boom, here they are, just like my son, he's graduating this year. And you start to see this little window where it's like, huh, I can kind of start thinking about things that I would like to do as well in the future. So I guess my question to you is, you know, what is it that you want to impart to your son as he finishes through his high school years and goes out and makes his mark? That is the legacy from your childhood and the rodeo and the Western community and culture that you were raised in that you think will carry him in his life?
Well, he's always going to be, I mean, Justin is intelligent, he's handsome, and he's extremely talented as far as an athlete. He has all the given tools to be somewhere. He's even told me he wants to write. So I think that's already kind of, you know, I can see I've already motivated him and given him some incentives to carry that legacy on. But, I want to be successful. I want to make lots of money. Everybody says that. I mean, to be honest, it really wouldn't hurt my feelings if someday some scriptwriter sat down and said, you know, you've got this rodeo book, you've written children's books, you got this story about your custody fight with your, you know, your ex, you have your son, your role model. Let's do a documentary on this guy. Let's do a movie. I think Hollywood would really buy into the story of a bull rider who gets custody of his son, who bakes these delicious chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? I'd have to go see it because, you know, it's every woman loves a man that can bake and cook. I'm not going to lie. I'm not shy about it. So real fast, we have about, 3 to 4 minutes left, and we have a caller on the line. We have a gentleman by the name of Bill. Bill, are you there?
I am here. Hi, Abe. It's Bill Putnam in Texas.
Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, my friend, and Vicki and Becky and Donna Lynn. Great show, ladies. And, Abe, I've really enjoyed the hour here with all of you and listening in. And I just wanted to say briefly, Abe, that just congratulations to you and Justin. What a great relationship you guys have, and you're just such an inspiration to all us dads out here. And it's been so good, and so it's just been great to get to know you as a friend and a colleague. And you know, we, Abe, you and I have got to share quite a bit here over the last a couple of years or so, and it's been just a great privilege and a blessing to know you, my friend. And I also want to say, Abe, that I want to pass along just some prayer and condolences to you and your family. You know, your great cousin, Cowtown Gene Walker, who was from back in New Jersey as well, a great cowboy, great bull rider himself, you know, passed away this past weekend. And I just want to send along some condolences to you, my friend. And keep up the great work, Abe. And it's so good to hear you on the show tonight. And, ladies, this is a terrific show and a great thing you've got going here. So thank you very much. And good night, everybody. Thanks, Abe.
Good night.
Well, Bill. We might mention Bill Putman lives in Dripping Springs, Texas. And if you have a chance to go to Facebook, look up the Bull Riding Hall of Fame. Bill, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate your input tonight.
Yes, for sure.
We do. We appreciate that. And, you know, for a quick second, he sounded just like Brett. I thought it was Brett on the line for a minute. Oh, my goodness. Now, tell me, Abe, real quick, we've got about a minute left before we have to wrap it up. Where do you know Bill from?
Bill has a Bull Riding Hall of Fame. He's also on Facebook. He has a page on there. It's called The Bullpen and also the Bull Riding Hall of Fame. So that's how I met Bill. And I wrote a story on Bill for the Humps and Horns Bull Riding Magazine for one of my monthly column stories.
Awesome. Well, we've got just about 2 minutes left, Abe, and I know we could keep talking and talking and talking. So, you know, in the last, say, 30 seconds before we got to wrap this up, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, can you give a quick, real, you know, few minutes? Well, I shouldn't say few minutes. I cannot talk. My tongue's tied. How do listeners get a hold of you? You've got your website. You've got your Facebook page. Are those the two main ways to get a hold of you?
That would be it. I do, yeah, my website, my Facebook page. I mean, there's a link on my website that you can go on if you want to send me an email. I'll respond to your email. So, I mean, you never know who's out there listening. But like I said, number one goal, raise Justin, be a good role model. But I'm open to a relationship. I'm ready to settle down again because I don't care who you are or what you are. You know, I want to be successful, but I also am willing and want to share that with someone. And I know Justin needs a female in his life that, you know, it's going to help him grow and become a man. So those are my goals. And I'm determined to find a good woman. I know they're out there, so let them come at me. We'll see what happens. I'm a good guy. I'm a Christian guy. My dad raised me properly at being a Baptist minister. I think I have a lot to offer and a lot to bring to the table.
Well, I think you're right, Abe, and I know I've just been totally tickled, and I'm happy to now call you my friend and get to know you. And we thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. And for those of you, again, I'm going to say goodnight. I'm going to turn over to my Aunt Vicki and Donna Lynn, and we are going to close out.
Donna Lynn, before I close out, do you have anything to say?
Oh, well, I know it was such a nice interview. Thanks, Abe. We really appreciate it. And I think that when Bill Putnam's Bull Riding Hall of Fame comes to fruition, you're going to be one of the inductees. So we'll be proud to say we know you.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Abe, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Good night, everyone. And we're going to close out with Crystal Lyons and a little cowgirl logic.
I would hate to be a horse, but if I were, I would want to be in the hands of a good barrel racer. I have never seen anyone so close to being a veterinarian as a professional barrel racer. A barrel racer knows everything about her horse. If her horse is carrying his tail funny, she's getting his hocks injected or sending him to the chiropractor. Now a roper? Their horse can be dragging a hind leg and the guy is claiming he's just being lazy. Well, really, all competitors want their horse performing well. But what's the difference that makes one person notice the welfare of their horse from someone who doesn't? Relational. That's the difference. Those who take better care of their horses are usually relational with them. Those who care about their event only think of their horse basically as a piece of machinery that they expect to deliver the goods whenever they want. Therefore, if their horse's performance doesn't come up to their expectations, their first response is anger. A person who is relational with their horse can experience the same thing, but their response would be to make sure that nothing is wrong with their horse. Our responses to God after a disappointing outcome also mirror whether or not we are truly relational with God, or do we just want Him to deliver the goods. People who are mainly interested in what God can do for them are prone to get offended when something doesn't turn out the way they wanted. Being relational, that's the key, whether it's with your horse or with God. Pity the poor animal who ends up in the hands of the person who is only interested in its performance. Pity the heart of God when we treat Him the same way. This is Crystal Lyons and Cowgirl Logic.
ForRadio.com.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRiosSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is For Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan.
Hello, everybody. It's Women on the Edge. I'm Becky Ryan, and we are here for a fantastic Monday. And I am here with my lovely co-host and producer, Maria DiGiovanni. Are you out there, sister?
I am. You hear me?
I do. I heard that we had some technical difficulties with Becky earlier, the other Becky, who was just playing. And
well,
she just had me chuckling.
It was her phone. She's got a new phone, and so she's technically challenged with her phone at the moment. So it's quite comical, but that's all right. It's all good.
Well, we're here for another exciting, interesting week, pushing women to the edge. Well, actually, this week might be a little bit different. We're going to be talking about women who have been taking over the edge. We're going to talk about the news, what's trending. And with my background in computers and internet marketing since the late 90s, I'm addicted to finding out what's trending. And today we have some really pounding attacks going on out there in the world, besides earthquakes going off in Asia again. We have some stuff that's going on over in Nigeria, and I thought we'd discuss it. Because it's all about our women, and we are now beyond 2,000. And we have women, girls, being kidnapped and sold into slavery, and it's been trending all over Fox, Guardian, all over the world, about a little country in Africa called Nigeria. And I am just sickened by every single thing that's coming out of there. And I hope that we can discuss it today. I don't know if there was anything on your agenda, but this one I think I could talk. Heck, I can go and load a plane, I think, with women. They'll be just in an uproar about this. We have really been facing a lot of challenges as women. And
why don't you share? Because, again, I'm one of those people that I don't listen, or I think I read something, there were 236 girls that were taken.
That are still alive
out
of the 300.
So, yeah, why don't you share with the audience what it is, because I'm not aware at all.
Why don't I back up a little bit more? For anybody that's new to listening, we tend to have our pulse that we're measuring tends to be in post-traumatic stress disorder, male, female, domestic violence. We tend to focus on things that we need to just get rid of. We need to bring it to the edge. We need to come together as men and women. There is no race, no creed. We are people under God. And some of the things that have been going on in the past couple of years that have been trending, especially like India and the rapes, that it's all right, and if the woman gets raped, she's deemed an untouchable, and like it was all her fault, but they weren't trying the rapist. Well, now something that's been also going on, but now it's trending, is in Nigeria, back in April, not too long ago, just I think it was April 14th, Boko Haram ended up claiming today through many videos, many outlets, that they were the ones that had gone to the Nigerian schools and grabbed 300 girls. Right now, 274 are alive. So I had gone in to find out what happened to the other ones. They said they've been tortured. They know for a fact two of them have died from snake bites. But because these are Christians, and I think most of us know that there is a fight going on, and Nigeria is the 14th on a scale of 1 to 1,000, however many countries we have, is number 14th for the worst place to live as a Christian.
Right.
And we have a huge population of people. I think that I've seen today that they have 170 million in extreme dire poverty in Nigeria. And Nigeria, if you recall, and anybody that's looked in books, they have gold, they have rubies, they have oil, they have diamonds. They're the ones making the majority. There's a metal that's in our cell phone that's worth more than platinum, and maybe you'd remember what it is, and it's being mined out of Nigeria. So it's worth more than gold.
Maybe it's palladium, not platinum.
Maybe it's palladium.
There's nothing more precious than platinum.
So maybe it's platinum, and we have a teeny bit in every one of our cell phones, and we're getting that out of Nigerian mines. Well, 62% of the population and 170 million are in extreme dire poverty. And to the point that Islam and the Christians are having wars. Not too long ago, like about 2 months ago, they would tie schools that were Christian schools or westernized schools and lock the kids inside and set it on fire. Well, now they've ended up grabbing 300 girls. 53 of them, they said, ended up escaping, so maybe they had some more than the 300, not exactly sure, but from the reports, we've lost girls to beatings, deaths, snake bites. This is not getting better. 20-some of them ended up dying from or are ill right now, currently ill, expected to die. And this Boko Haram is an Islamic extreme group. And a guy went on, and you can hear in his voice, I mean, I don't understand what he's saying, but they have many videos out there. And if you go to Women on the Edge on Facebook, you can see one of the videos from CNN, and he's saying, I will sell girls. Allah has commanded me to do so. How much do you think he's selling them for, Maria?
How much?
Yeah, just guess.
I wouldn't even know.
$12.50.
Wow.
This is horrible. And I have Islamic friends. No, I don't know the heart of the person.
Saying?
they absolutely say that they're appalled by this. This is not the, you know, and they want to compare it to when we had Eric Rudolph going around bombing the abortion clinics, if I'm correct, on Eric Rudolph. We all have extremists, and they're saying this is one of them, but they captured 300 girls. They believe that it's all right that they've been surrounding villages, shooting and burning the villages. They were also in September and October. They have a couple hundred deaths from doing something like that, just surrounding the village and starting to shoot. This is sickening. They know who they are. They're videotaped. The police are investigating. Parents are worried sick. Part of the thing is that they will always be our slaves. They will be beaten and tortured until they become Muslims. And after they convert, they will forever be our slaves, and we can sell them and do as we wish until they die. This is not what should be happening in 2014. The terror that's going through and riveting Nigeria is screaming all over the world. One of the Nigerian reporters said, well, if you think about it, abuse continues. And if you've listened to Women on the Edge before, you know that we've been pushing this to the edge. They put out a report that, well, heck, only 200, 300 people, girls got taken, and it's publicly known. This happens all the time. Look at America, where they have no value to their women because one out of 50 is being beaten tonight. And I don't know where they got their stats from. But being here in America and the things that we've discussed, I'm with the odds. And what it's doing to all of these women, what it's empowering these sick guys. Why are not the Muslims even appalled by this behavior? These are all kids. They're all under 12. They're 6 years old. They're walking through the villages. They're being beaten because of their beliefs. And Boko Haram means Western education is a sin. So every time that we say it, we're promoting that it's a sin. What do you think about how it's in our face that things need to change? The nightmare that these families are going through, what can we do? And I'm bringing that here now. I don't know what to do about Nigeria, but I do think that a lot of us know of people who are going through some really sick relationships, maybe even sick religion. Anybody to think that it's okay to abduct children is not okay. And yet, even here in America, we have a lot of crap going on. Maria, how do we stop the violence? How do we free our daughters? How do we free people?
You know, the only thing that we can do is continue to raise our voice and try to get people to listen. But, you know, I spent some time this weekend with a very liberal mind, and it hit me that over the last 6 years, this country has become more divided than ever, and that I don't see any patriotism, and I only see just a me attitude. And I don't know how to justify that in balancing how do we deal with this stuff when logical, intelligent minds are on the opposite side of what seems to be what's happening as a trend in our country. There's no unity. There's no patriotism. There's no
And may there be. Let's get unity. Let's build up unity.
That's
go back to
what
the 60s and get those, at least the songs
that's
made me
feel
good.
Because as of right now, how do we get unity? Because we can't even communicate with each other, let alone, you know, you're saying it's black and they're saying it's white. So until we get some balance, and that's what that's the bigger question. How do we stop? We're out of balance is what's wrong. Out of balance completely, and especially relationship-wise.
Well, at least in Nigeria, they are doing protests. They've been doing it for the past 2 weeks, trying to get their government to go in and find these girls. Now I'm wondering if they have videos released today, there's something else going on that they can't find where these 200, almost 300 girls are. And if anybody can just go swipe in and take those girls and not be found, somebody's twiddling their thumbs. Somebody's dropping the bag big time.
This is huge. This is at the upper level for people to be able to do these kinds of things. This is very deep. Someone's making a lot of money here. A lot of money.
And I doubt it's the $12.50 per child.
Someone's making money somewhere. It's really intense. You're talking a business here. This is a business, and you've got to look at it as a business, and that's the only way we're going to be able to attack it. Because if we don't look, it's kind of like a cop mentality. When a cop is investigating a case.
Wait. Keep that one, because I wanted you to know something that you're going to really freak out about. And it'll feed right in. I know Marie and I have been talking for some time, and this is wild. How many times have they ever made the victim be the person that created the problem? When the school announced this crime that was going down, the government officials accused them of being Boko Haram themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They said that they did it themselves without even looking. Okay, go on about calling in. What happens when you call in the police?
No, we have to look at what's happening, like the police law enforcement looks at their cases. This is business. You've got to find out, if you're just going to look at it this way, you got to find out who's making the most money, and that's who the leader is. Okay, you've got to be able to find out who that is, and that's where you're going to find how you're going to be able to solve this problem.
There's something up with the government if they're going to point fingers at themselves.
Nope.
There's a problem when you think the person that the police officers are going out and it's domestic violence, and maybe it was person beaten up's fault, battering issues. Rapes. I think rapes, more of our listeners would say that rape victims have been accused, maybe even by ourselves. We wonder if for some way, shape, or form that they could have caused what had happened. But a rapist is a rapist. And somebody is making money off of this, though. They're playing games. How can the government play games with basically 300 families, cousins, aunts, uncles, it multiplies.
Yep.
The country is weeping over there. And we're weeping here. This is just a bigger in the face, but we've had warnings like this in America.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that are still being child brides here. We have people that are being married off, never met the person. We have genital mutilation still here being done in the United States and the UK, and yet we think it's so far away, but it's right here on our own ground.
Yep.
And I really want a voice.
Well, this is what this platform is all about.
Well, this is why I thought it was important. They're protesting. Numbers are coming through on other abductions, murders, violence, that really didn't make it to trending news. But every town is starting to protest. Every major town in Nigeria, the Christians have united and are going in front of the government houses and protesting. They're even having a Twitter campaign for those that do care about this or any of these other ones. I mean, please stop the violence. Go to, if you know your Twitter, it's hashtag bring back our girls. Bring back our girls. Bring back our girls anywhere. A lot is going on. We've got to get that family value. What happened to Mayberry? I know it was a facade even back then. But you know what? At least we had a goal.
Yeah.
We have too many families that are broken. We, you know, granted, we might not have picked out our family. But you did pick out your friends, and are your friends appalled by this? What's going through your head is very important to where your path is going. And we have some sick people here that need to be brought out in the light, and we need to bring back our girls. We need to build up our men being men who honor and love and cherish their women. We also need to have a respect for different religions. I know for a fact that my Islamic friends would never condone this. So I know that this is an extreme act, but how come? Who's getting paid for this?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's making
money? You've got to find out who's making the most money, because it's appalling that no one's going in to help here. But you've got 8 minutes.
8 minutes. During the next week, I challenge our listeners to go and bring up a subject with friends. Call somebody up. Write it on your Facebook. Hit Twitter. Help some change. Connect with somebody and say that this is stuff that needs to stop. We need to clean up our government. Whether it's right, wrong, yeah, indifferent, as long as it's not derailing somebody's entire life. These girls are being beaten. They said as young as six. They're beating, raping, and torturing them to death. They're sick. We already lost some. How many do we have to lose? How many do we have to lose here in America? Our poverty rate is increasing. Atlanta's hitting over 60-some percent are in need of aid, food for tomorrow. The ability to pay for a diaper. Think of something that's in your heart that you need to go and do to help better the community. Talk to your neighbor. We need to find out what's going on and reach out. Maybe you just reaching out and being nice to somebody could save a life. You never know. I'm just really appalled. I couldn't imagine sending my kids to school, and I'd be counting every second. It's been 2 weeks for these people. They have no idea what their kids are. And to find a videotape, we're beating them. He's proud of it. We're raping them. And one of the people had gone in The Guardian, and I did put that link up. They said, we all knew who it was. Now they're getting publicity. If we know who they are, we have an idea of where they are. We know where their phones are. Why are we tracking them down? Maria, I really want to look into who's making the money off of this. I'm wondering why there's so much poverty in Nigeria. That's such a rich, rich country. And I'd really have to say we need God.
Just again, there's a lot of things happening in Nigeria. A lot of people go to Nigeria to do Christian ministry outreach, and it's been something that's been on the spotlight for a very long time. So, you know, all we can do is do what we are doing and try and find some balance. But if you really want to push it to the edge, you need to find out who is profiting the most out of harming these children. and that is who you're going to find. What is it going to take to fulfill that person's need for greed? And that's what you got to find. In order to save these girls, you got to give this person the ransom. The problem is you don't know what that ransom is. And that's
$12.50, I have no idea. I don't know how they got the number, by the way. You can go and look at the link. But even the official state, their county ended up saying that it's half the girls. The families have gone and said no. Why is the government, I mean, I question our own government, so I can't help but while I'm reading this, I do question media outlets. Sometimes we write and seeing that this is just instantaneous and it is trending. People write things as quick as they get them. And just like you and I are discussing this, I'd like you to at least go talk to a friend. Put it on your face. There's mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews that are all crying, cousins. But we have it here too. We have girls on the street going into prostitution. Why? We have mothers that are right now unable to feed their kids tonight. We, you know, Obamacare came through. I can tell you one thing. I'm not benefiting. $6,000 later, I may. But we have a whole bunch of people that aren't benefiting from this new increase on our society that need surgery and doctors. And I pray that some of them will listen to it. And I'm praying right now that, you know, anybody that is listening to us, that each need is met, and God puts a passion on us, as Marie and I go through and push us to the edge. We want to bring it. We want it to explode. We want to change. This is something that seems pre-medieval ages. I don't even think it sounds 19th century or 18th century, possibly 17th century. And I'm not asking to go backwards. I'm asking to go forward. My stomach is sick. It is so painful and sickening to think of how many people are hurting out there. And if anybody, any of our listeners, start sending it to us. Hashtag again, bring back our daughters. And let's stop some of this. Let's at least help them voice. Help us voice.
That's all we
Maria,
can do.
I know we're about out of time.
Yep,
would you like to say anything positive?
Minutes. You've got 2 minutes left, and that's a lot of time. So what is trending positive?
2 minutes left. A positive. I don't know. I was kind of overwhelmed. Let's go and look. When it comes down, I was just about to say, I know that we've had some more earthquakes. So I have no good news. Even we have... Nuns right now is cracking. I have no idea. U.S. nuns crackdown. Have you heard of it?
No.
I guess the U.S. nuns continue under Pope Francis. So apparently, I'm trying to look at this. There's protests. We love nuns. Oh, crap. Maybe we're going to have to wait until next time. Basically, I see that we have one protester out there going, sisters are called by God. Another one saying, Christ Jesus is Lord. For it to trend in its Christianity, it looks kind of positive. That's pretty good.
I don't know. Okay, we've got about 90 seconds, so go ahead and do
90
what you
seconds.
Do.
We're going to be bringing in some cool people. We're going to be bringing back Matt from Higher Ascent, and we're going to talk about how to get rid of this stress. We have summer coming right around the corners, and we're going to go and squeeze this lemons and this kind of crud that we've been going through, and we're going to make some lemonade for this summer. We're going to have a stylish, entertaining, successful 2014 summer, and I'm asking you to also, how about this, talk to somebody and pray for somebody. Sit down and ask somebody if you can pray for them, and I think that would bring some beauty to this world.
5 seconds.
I'm out of here. You'll see us on Friday. This is Becky Ryan with Women on the Edge with my awesome Maria DiGiovanni.
East Coast and West Coast, we're about to unite.
And we will see you on Friday on Women on the Edge.
I want to take a moment to just give a special thank you to our show sponsors, ImageCoach.com, Soul Sister Enterprise, the Law Office of Corrine R. Walson, and to our station sponsors, Heart4.com and 4 International, where we elevate and empower those who are overcoming adversity.